1:44, it's the girls' time. Amen. Boys are off the hook tonight, and the girls are on the hook. All right. So we're going to finish up Psalm 144 in that last phrase of that verse. Glenda's going to sing. You find Psalm 144. We'll enjoy the song. Here we go. Now, Psalm 144, and let's ask the Lord's blessing on growing girls into ladies. Growing girls into ladies. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good music. Oh, we've had fellowship with you and with each other in prayer time. Heard from good missionaries and rejoiced in what they're doing. Read some of their letters. And now it's time to open your book and look into it for a little bit to hopefully God help the young ladies of this church. Help the moms and dads as we try to rear them properly. Pray, God, that you'll give us insight on how to do so. And, Lord, help us to sense the need, the urgency of this matter. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for David. Thank you for his great desire for his kingdom and how it, Lord, is so applicable for today. Thank you for these folks who've come out on this Wednesday evening. Many of them have worked long hours today. Their bodies and minds are already tired. So help me, I pray, may the Spirit of God quicken us. And help us to listen carefully for these few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. David is praying, verse number 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. We've already talked about that extensively. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. David is praying for the well-being of his kingdom. And in that prayer, in his vision for that the kingdom, his vision includes a prepared next generation. How important is a prepared next generation? And a church that neglects the next generation is shooting itself in the foot. And I think we have a lot of time, effort, and energy here spent in the next generation. And we shouldn't get tired of that because it is crucial, okay? But it's not only crucial at church, it's crucial at home as well. It's not just a matter of rearing your children to adulthood so that they go out and get jobs and make a living and pursue the American dream. It's important that they have good character, that the men become productive young men. David here, his desire for his boys is that they grow into productive young men. He realizes the economic future of his kingdom rests on their shoulders. The economic future of his kingdom, and that's true, the economic future of this country rests on the shoulders of productive young men, okay? And then he realizes the moral future of his kingdom rests on the shoulders of the young girls and desires that they grow into the kind of ladies that will put that moral future on safe ground. Okay? Economic future on solid ground, moral future on solid ground. That's what his prayer is. The next generation coming up will take the baton, if you will, and be what they ought to be. His exact prayer is that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? It really is. At first glimpse, you would not think that David's vision for the girls, you know, could be well described by using words like stones and palace. Man, when I think of stones and palace, I'm thinking of strength, and part of that is for the ladies. But just at first you think, my goodness, he wants his girls to be like cornerstones? After the polished after the similitude of a palace? But it all makes sense. When you break it down and think about it, I want to take the two things separately, do with one tonight and finish up next Wednesday night, Lord willing. I want to talk, first of all, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. Cornerstones. We've talked before about cornerstone. The cornerstone of a building in Bible days was the most important and prominent stone in the structure. It was placed there at an angle, so it created this. And then the walls, it was placed where two walls would meet, forming the critical angle of the building. It was the most precise stone in the whole building. It was the first stone put in place in the whole building. And it was the most precise and accurate because the line of both walls followed the angle of the cornerstone. If the cornerstone was out of square, then the walls that follow it would be out of square. And boy, there's nothing a builder hates more than a building out of square. You talk about problems, that presents problems. And you know, the truth is, when they got ready to do this project over here, when they got down to the, you know, we tore everything down but the frame, and they had a little bit of a problem there because that old building was out of square. It was out of square. And that's what they used the cornerstones for. They were precisely cut, precisely made. And the walls lined up and followed out. So the straightness of the two walls was dependent on the cornerstone being straight. The walls could only be as straight as the cornerstone. Now, the moral and social character of a nation is determined far more by the character of its women than it is by its men. I said the moral structure of a nation. A nation's moral character will rise and fall with the moral character of its women. Think about the nation of Israel under the leadership of that dominating, wicked Queen Jezebel. The whole country was in bad, bad moral shape. And a large part of it was due to her wicked moral character. Egypt in the days of Joseph was plagued by a lack of moral character. And it was exemplified in Potiphar's wife, who made unseemly advances. You know, we say, boy, this is the day and age of the aggressive woman. Making advances toward men. You know, men have always been characterized as the ones who make the advances and are the flirtatious ones. And in this day and age, it's the women. And that's true. It is pretty dangerous out there. When I worked in the world in 1978, 79 at Thrall Carr, there were very aggressive women at that factory. Very aggressive. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's not new. It's as old as Egypt and Exodus. Okay, excuse me, Genesis and Exodus. Genesis in Egypt, the land of Egypt, old as Potiphar's wife, who made unseemly advances to Joseph. Now, the nations Israel under Jezebel and Egypt in the early days, They were corrupt morally. It's not surprising that those females who were influential, Jezebel, Potiphar's wife, were of low moral character. Now, you can argue all you want, but again, this is the day of sensual women, and the character of our nation is following suit. Following suit. Without letting men off the hook of personal responsibility. I'm not releasing any of us men tonight from the personal responsibility of doing what is right. But I will say this. It seems that men will stoop as low as women allow them to stoop. It really does. Do you know that men will talk as loose as women will allow them to talk? And men will behave as loose as women allow them to behave? And men will be as aggressive as women allow them to be aggressive. Do you know if you've got a group of men standing around who are, you know, on the construction crew, or a group of men, not even a construction crew, just a group of businessmen standing around in an airport traveling somewhere. Do you know that a woman who walks by that group of men determines what they notice and what they talk about? That's true. I've seen it. I've been in the airports, seen the businessmen with their briefcases, and seen a very flamboyant, loosely dressed, flirtatious woman walk by and watch all their heads turn. And then watch their heads turn back, look at each other, watch their facial expressions, see their mouths begin to move. Three guesses what they're talking about, and two don't count. Who determined that? Well, they shouldn't talk about stuff. I'm not letting men off the hook of personal responsibility. And God be with us, men, and help us. If something like that happens, it walks by us. We have enough fortitude and personal character not to notice and to keep our minds right. But I'm going to tell you something. You get a group of unsaved men together, a woman who walks by. You take a woman who walks by who is not advertising, a woman who walks by that's not dressing aggressively, a woman that walks by not in a flamboyant way, she can walk right past them. They don't say one word. Their heads never turn. Their eyebrows never raise. They never... But you guys that travel, come on. When they walk by, the woman determines what the men talk about, what they notice. It's the woman that sets the moral character for that, the moral temperature for that group of men. And this is what we're talking about. The cornerstone sets the standard for exactness and straightness for the entire building. The entire building. The cornerstone sets that. So the females set the standard for exactness and straightness for society. That's why David is praying here. God, please help our daughters that they may be as cornerstones. Exact, precise, straight. David realizes that the exactness, the straightness, if you will, of his kingdom, the moral character of his kingdom is going to rest on the shoulders of the moral character of his kingdom's women. Now, the truth is, this should cause us to start our daughters early in life on a course of purity and chastity. It's always amazed me that some men will care more about their female dogs than they will their daughters. They wouldn't let their female dogs get out and about at a certain time because they don't want any old hound breeding with them. But they'll turn their daughters out loose in the streets. I came to church the other night. Was it church or was it graduation? I came here the other night. I'll promise you folks, my heart broke. I saw gangs of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders walking the streets of Bourbonnais, 8, 9, 10, 12 to a gang, two or three different groups the same evening in the drive from my house to church. And I said to whoever was in the car with me, where are their parents? Where are their parents? Girls and guys together. I'm talking about as young as 7th and 8th grade. And it's amazing to me that dads will have a female thoroughbred dog with papers and they'll keep her pinned up in the backyard, not let her loose because they don't want the old hound dog taken up with her, but they'll let their 7th grade daughter run around with a bunch of 8th grade boys. That's amazing to me. It don't make any sense. And so we can't, you know, as God's people, we got to understand here the importance of getting our daughters started very early in life on a course of purity and chastity. Because, hey, this is true in our homes. This is true in our churches. It's true in our society. the moral temperature of society, the moral temperature of a church, the moral temperature of a school, the moral temperature of a home even, is established by its women. And that's what David is praying here. God, please help our young ladies to grow up to be exact and precise and straight, because the exactness of my kingdom, the preciseness of my kingdom, the straightness of my kingdom is going to rest on the exactness and straightness and preciseness of our young girls. Just like a building's straightness and being plumb rests on that cornerstone. Now, a couple of thoughts here tonight. If you've got girls in your home, or grandkids, whatever the case may be, a couple of thoughts here tonight. How do you get a girl started, your daughter started on the course of chastity and purity? Number one, a girl's chastity should be emphasized more than her body, beauty, or brains. A girl's chastity should be emphasized more than her body, beauty, or brains. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 tonight, and verse number 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. All right? Peter here writing says these words, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." The word conversation is not talking about a conversation, a vocabulary conversation, a conversation of words. The word conversation here is talking about manner of life. What kind of manner in life has power? A chaste manner of life. A chaste manner of life has power. While they behold your chaste conversation. He says, hey, you wives that you have husbands who aren't living for God. You wives that have husbands that aren't saved. You wives that have husbands that are backslidden. He said, listen, the thing that will turn them around more than anything else is your chaste conversation. Your chaste lifestyle. A pure and holy lifestyle has power. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. This is interesting as I thought about this a little bit this afternoon. I'd never really thought about these two words put together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. And actually we'll start reading in verse number 1. We're talking about emphasizing a girl's chasteness, her chastity. Emphasizing that more than her body, beauty, or brains. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Paul said, you know, I'm a little bit foolish how I feel about you folks. As he's writing the church at Corinth. He said, if you bear with me a little bit, I'm a little bit overboard or overzealous in how I feel about you. It says verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, he's talking about the church's relationship to Jesus Christ. He doesn't want the church's relationship with Jesus Christ to be marred by the philosophy of the world. Okay? And I understand that that's what he's talking about here. But the emphasis I want to point out tonight is look at the two words, chaste virgin. Chaste virgin. Chaste virgin. Chaste virgin. You know, the virgin has to do with the condition of the girl's body. Chaste has to do with the condition of her heart. A chaste, pure, holy, clean heart. It's not enough just to be a virgin. Now, you want to be a virgin when you get married. But I want to tell you something. There are virgins out there who are not chaste. Young girls who've never been physically engaged in any kind of immorality, but their hearts are heading down a sensual path. They're not chaste in their heart. Not holy and pure and clean inside. Now look here, folks. Not every girl can be drop-dead gorgeous. No. And there are some drop... Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. It's the quietest bunch we've had in weeks. I don't know if we're on something here that's just, whoa. Men are afraid. I don't know, but it's all right. It's just quiet. I can even hear the pages of the Bible turning just a little bit ago. Not every girl can be dropped. There are some drop-dead gorgeous females. You know that. Man, just, whoa. So, well, you shouldn't think like that. Well, I'm sorry God made us to be men. You know, I really am. I'm sorry. You have to take that up with God someday. You know, God, point a finger in His face and say, why did you make men like that? Because that's how we are. Okay? And it doesn't mean you don't love your wife. And there's drop-dead gorgeous people. Not every girl can be drop-dead gorgeous, but every girl can be chaste. Every girl can be pure. And all girls need to be chaste and pure within having a holy and clean heart. Do you understand that a sensuous heart will be revealed in sensuous bodily movements and actions? Their sensuous actions, their sensuous bodily movements. A girl can possess a sensuous walk. A girl can possess a sensuous stance. A girl can possess a sensuous demeanor. And on the flip side, praise God, a girl can also possess a chaste walk, a chaste stance, and a chaste demeanor. And the truth of the matter is, if a Christian lady walks by, unless she's just drop-dead gorgeous, if a Christian lady walks by a group of unsaved businessmen in an airport, her walk, her stance, and her demeanor should not cause them to get their attention, should not cause any stir. But a sensuous woman will. The way she carries herself, the way that she walks. A girl can possess a chaste walk, a chaste stance, a chaste demeanor. Place the emphasis on being good rather than looking good. Now, I think it's needful and healthy and right for every dad to say to his daughter, "You're beautiful, you're pretty." I don't think that's wrong. But friend, don't go overboard. Put the emphasis on being good rather than looking good. Being good rather than looking good. Look, if you're going to make comments about other girls in front of your daughters, comment on how good girls behave. Never make physical comparisons. Never point out the physical shortcomings of other girls. Don't ever say to your daughter, "You're not like her, she's too heavy." I'm glad you're not like her, she's too heavy. I'm glad you're not like her, she's too skinny. I'm glad you're not like her, she needs makeup. She's just not like you. She's not pretty enough to cause the boys, for the boys to notice her. What's that emphasizing, friend? That's emphasizing looks. That's emphasizing body. That's emphasizing beauty. You want to emphasize chastity. You want to emphasize that pure and clean heart. You don't want to get them thinking about their physical body. You don't want to get their minds on looking good, being good, and look nice. But don't get overwhelmed with looking good. Being good and doing good are far more important than looking good. Far more. The emphasis in our society today is on the body. All you got to do is go over here to the mall and just count the number of stores that deal with the body. And so here's the tanning salon, that's body. Here's the nail place. You get your nails, whatever they do there. I don't know. I never had a manicure or a pedicure. They have shops to put nails on, shops to rip eyebrows off. If it's got to be done, it's got to be done. To me, it's just take a shower and put a little Old Spice on. Amen. That's all you need. It's easy, ladies. It really is. It's an easy life. Amen. It's all about the body. Grandma's not at home baking cookies and reading books to the grandchildren on her lap. She's down at the gym tightening her abs. That's where she is. That's what she's doing. That's what it's all about. And you say, they ought to be health cautious. I agree with that, but I'm going to say something. In our day, the little old white-haired, maybe a little plump grandma that could bake some bread and read to the grandchildren, we had a lot better society than we have with bench-pressing women. I'm talking about emphasizing a girl's chastity. Never make comments about the beauty of a wicked woman. I don't care how pretty she is. You always point out that the Hollywood movie stars are of poor character. They lack chastity and they lack wholesomeness. Now, I'll tell you something. You don't want to get your girls thinking about these Hollywood movie stars and how. And some of them are attractive. But I want to tell you something. If you had 18 million facelifts and all the other stuff that goes in today's society, all this stuff that they do to manufacture a body and manufacture a face. You know, Dr. Howes used to tell us boys that at Howes Anderson. He said, a lot of you boys are dumb. And he was right. We were dumb. He said, you won't date some of these girls around here because they look a little plain. He said, if they could afford a little makeup and a new dress, you'd be shocked. But you overlook the fact that they work their way through school and they pay their school bills and they don't have any financial help and they get good grades and they go to class. That doesn't impress you. What you're looking for is the flus. Now, enough money can manufacture anything. And you got to be careful if you're talking. You can't be talking about these wicked, vile, I mean, filthy women. And how pretty they are. Little ears pick up on that stuff. And you know, you can make a comment about how pretty they are and then look beyond that to their filthy character. But if you emphasize the beauty to your little girls, that's all they're going to be picked. They're going to get enthralled with the beauty or fame of some woman whose character is sleazy. And I would say, if your daughter becomes infatuated with the hairstyles and the dress styles and the behavior styles of these teen models, then you're going to lose ground with them as far as chastity goes. You can't allow them to watch these TV shows and all this emphasis on looks. Looks emphasize chastity. Emphasize that chasteness. David said, our daughters need to be like cornerstones that are, they're exact and straight and precise, because the walls of the entire structure are going to follow the preciseness of that stone. And if that stone is out of square, the building's going to be out of square. And if the moral character of a woman is out of square, it makes it tough on a society. If she's flaunting, men are going to notice. Emphasize chastity rather than body, beauty, or brains. And I'm not talking about not making an effort in school and stuff like that. I'm just saying emphasize the heart, the purity, the chastity, the chasteness. You want a chaste virgin as a daughter, for a daughter. A chaste virgin. One who is, yes, a virgin in body, but more than that, chaste in heart. Chasteness. Okay? Number two, about this matter, a girl's innocence should be protected. A girl's innocence should be protected. Look at Romans chapter 16. A girl's innocence should be protected. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 9. No, that's verse number 19. I'm sorry, I left the one off there. Romans 16, verse number... I mentioned this verse a couple of weeks ago, I think. That's what it says here. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. He's writing the church at Rome there. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, he's talking about false doctrine coming into the church. He said, you know what? Some of you, you're just real simple-minded, simple, innocent about false doctrine, and that's what I want you to be. But I want to make the application here. Paul says to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The word simple just means innocent. Daughters should be innocent concerning evil. I said that a few weeks ago. If you girls are innocent concerning some of the things that other girls seem to know everything about, you do not hang your head. Do not be embarrassed. You are following what Paul said was the best thing. Now, some of you live in neighborhoods and there's girls in the neighborhood. I lived in a neighborhood when I was young. And then it was a little bit enlarged neighborhood when I was older. But I know what neighborhood kids talk about. And if you're innocent about that stuff, don't ever pull a girl aside and say, hey, look, don't tell anybody, but I didn't know what y'all were talking about a little ago. What was that all about? Don't ask the girl. Go home and ask your mother. And mom may say to you, you know what, it's not time for that yet. And if mom says it's not time for that yet, you trust mom. Everything is beautiful in His time. There's a time and place for everything. And when it's kept in that perfect time, it's wonderful. So you got to be careful what the neighborhood kids talk about. You got to be careful what kids talk about in school sometimes. You know, daughters should, you should be innocent concerning Madonna, innocent concerning Hannah Montana, innocent concerning Britney Spears and other teenage and adult harlots. You should be innocent about those girls. So I don't know. The other girls talk about Britney and I don't know what's happening in her life. Good. I'll promise you, it's nothing you want to be involved in. I'm dead serious. I'm serious. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah, he talked about the nation of Israel. And he said twice, once in chapter 6 and once in chapter 8, he said, neither could they blush. A blush isn't a sign of innocence. Do you know a blush is attractive to a man? Some old battle-worn, been around the block 40 times, can't blush at anything. That's not real attractive to a man, the right kind of man. A blush is an attractive thing to a man. Blushing is a trait that is lost in our society. Blushing is foreign to the kind of women who work in the entertainment world. In fact, they enjoy making men blush. We live in a society now that gets a kick out of a woman saying something that, takes a man back. And you don't ever want to be like that, girls. All right, we don't want our daughters. Our girls should not have those women's posters in their rooms. They should not read magazines about them. They should not desire to fashion themselves after their style. There is nothing about those women I mentioned and the other hundreds like them, there's nothing about that that you want, I'll tell you. I read a statistic. Said one of the number one pieces of literature, reading material for women in the United States of America is romance novels. It's ridiculous. Romance novels have no place in a Christian woman's life. Unless you want to get Jeanette Oakey and all those stories are the same. I guess. Never read one. But they all look the same to me. Are those Christian, and they have some kind of thing. I'm going to tell you what, my friend, you got to be careful. Don't get into that kind of thing. That's in print, put it out there, the availability for women to fantasize through the writings of other wicked women, that is unhealthy to you spiritually. Your daughters get their hand on that, you're in trouble. So a girl's chastity should be emphasized more than her body, beauty, or brains. And a girl's innocence should be protected. You know what, dads? Maybe we should, care as much about our daughters as we do the old hunting dog. In fact, maybe we should value the daughter a little bit higher than the old hunting dog. Protect their innocence. Let me ask you a question. What if there were no women to pose for men's magazine? None. Probably go out of business. What if there were no women to perform in sleazy movies? What if there were no women in the country who sensuously dance on stage? What if there were no women who wore revealing clothing or made themselves available for a price? What if all the women refused to get involved physically with any man other than their husband? What if all the women were of the highest moral level possible. What if every woman turned down in no uncertain manner the aggressiveness of a wicked-minded man? Do you think that might have an impact on the character of our country? Say, well, you're letting the men off the hook. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I will take you back to my earlier illustration and promise you that in an airport or a public place, a group of unsaved men, the woman who walks by determines the content of their conversation. And if she is not sensuous or suggestive, they don't even pay attention. But if she's sensuous or suggestive, their eyes raise, their lips purse, and the comments start flowing. And some of it's done on purpose. Designed that way when they left the house. I'm just saying, Brother David said, the moral character of our kingdom rests on the shoulders of our daughters if we want this thing to be straight. Our women need to be of the highest character morally. Now, I don't know of any church, independent Baptist church in America, that hasn't been hit by some form of moral disaster. But even in a church, the moral character of the women set the temperature. And I appreciate here. I appreciate the ladies who take very much care to dress non-suggestively and decent and right, and you're proper and you're... I appreciate that. And that's why we have to visit every now and again. All the worldliness and the stuff that comes into a church that would begin to lower the moral character level. You get in trouble real quick. Real quick. Because it's that cornerstone. And the walls meet. They're straight. All based on that cornerstone. David said, God, make our daughters like that. Chase, we're talking about Chase girls. Next week we'll talk about the polishing of the palace. Okay? Let's stand together, please. Take some of that home. Think about it. Doing a good job, many of you already. And add that if you need to. Dear Father, help us, bless us. Give us, I pray, a next generation of young ladies who are feminine and graceful and chaste. Lord, please, not just chaste in body, but chaste in heart. Not sensuous. Lord, give them. Thank you for the ladies who are role models for girls around here. Thank you for those who have desires on being clean and pure, and bless any who are headed on the wrong path to straighten up real quick. Lord, may the moral character of our homes and our church be what it ought to be, pleasing to you. And I'll thank you for it. Help us with our girls in Jesus' name.